Please turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 36, verse 26. And we had seen that the history was that Jeremiah was first told, tell the people, maybe they'll listen. Last week he was told, write down all that God wants to tell the kings of Israel, the princes of Israel, the people of Israel. Write it all down, the warnings, because perhaps they will repent. Perhaps they'll listen. Perhaps they'll turn away from their wicked way. And the judgment that God had decreed upon Israel if they didn't turn away would be stayed. You know, God is, he just wants people to repent. He wants them to turn around to do what's right. But the king cut up the scroll. When King Jehoiakim heard what was being read by Jeremiah, he didn't want to hear it anymore. He just cut it up, threw it in the fire. And then in verse 26, and the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdel, to seize Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. So it was a kill the messenger. You know, the king didn't want to hear the message. He cut up the message. It really is just like somebody cutting up a Bible and throwing it in the fire. I mean, think if you had a relative and you're reading to them and they say, wait a second, bring me your Bible, you know, give me your Bible. And then they just throw it in the fire. You know, can you imagine what we know that, oh, I cannot believe you're doing this. And then they pull on you and they want to kill you because you're the messenger bringing them the words of everlasting life. You know, what it takes to get saved. And so Baruch and Jeremiah had been hid away, and so used people to hide them away, and he hid them because otherwise the king would have killed the prophet Jeremiah. Yeah, and then verse 27, picking it up there, and this is where we left off last week. Now, after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take yet another scroll, and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. So what is that scroll? That's the scroll we're reading tonight. Aren't you glad that they rewrote it? I mean, I know Jeremiah, God's saying, write it again. You got to be kidding me. I mean, I know it wasn't me, but I had to narrate your words to Baruch, and he had to write it all out. It just got thrown in the fire and write the whole thing again. Yeah, because Jeremiah, people in 2024 are going to be reading it at Port Orchard Calvary Chapel and learning, Calvary Church and learning. And so it must have been emotional letdown to realize, you told me to write it. You knew the king was going to burn it. You knew that was going to happen. Why did you tell me to do that? And again, it's what we're learning from this is how people treat the word of God. Was God long patient and suffering with King Jehoiakim? I mean, he could have torched him right there. But he's long suffering. He wants to show that he does everything for us. He does everything to get us to the point where we'll believe and trust. But if we say no, 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 there's a time where, okay, it's over. And you shall say, verse 29, as he does now in verse 29, and you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Why did you write that? What's the answer? It's the truth. Because it really is going to happen. Because God said, this is what will happen if you don't repent. I don't want to hear it. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the heat of the day and the frost of the night. So judgment's going to come. And imagine that. I'm king. I can cut up and throw away what I want. Nobody tells me what I want. I don't want to hear. But he's going to die. And the greatest thing for a king is for his lineage to be the dynasty of David. So he's a descendant of David and Solomon. And so his son could have been in the lineage to keep on going. But And God said, no, it's not going to be through you because of your wickedness. Verse 31, I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem and on the men of Judah, all the doom that I pronounced against them, but they did not heed. How many Bibles do you think there are on bookshelves across the world? Millions. Millions and millions of millions of Bibles. How many do you think have been read front to back by everybody in the house? A few thousand in the whole world. I mean, it's a statistic that very few church-going people in America have ever read the whole Bible in their whole life. You know, it's a small percentage of churchgoers in America that have ever read the Bible. And in the Bible, it tells us, does it tell us about these days that we're living in? Does it tell us that Israel's going to be back in, the Jews are going to be back in the land of Israel in the last days? Does it say that all the nations of the world are going to be gathered against it? Does it say that there's going to be a war where the people that say we're going to wipe it out and keep it from being a nation forever? And what's going to happen to them? Is all that in there? Is how many State Department people or people ever even reference that this is what the Bible says? I mean, hardly even in the alternate media today, people aren't saying, do you realize this is setting up perfectly for Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83? That it doesn't matter that Hezbollah thinks they're so smart, they take two out of every three houses in southern Lebanon are also missile launching sites. You know, your God can't do anything. We have hundreds of thousands of missiles ready to go. You don't even know where they are. They're inside of our buildings, of our residential people, and all they have to do is drop down a wall and shoot a cruise missile, and we're going to wipe out all the Jews. So you plan for years, you spend billions of dollars doing this so that you can annihilate every Jew on the face of the earth and wipe out the Jews, make them cease from being a nation. You think you can do that with the history of the God of the Bible? You ought to go read it. And so this is what they're saying. In Jeremiah's day, he's saying God is warning the Jews about the judgment that's going to happen to them. In our day, he's warning the world. And he's warning the Jews, but not that he's going to kick them out this time. But you guys are going to be in trouble because you're going to follow the false Messiah and you're going to go into a time of Jacob's trouble. Are they reading it? Do they? And this isn't new stuff, New Testament stuff. There's Old Testament information that they're going to go into time of Jacob's trouble. And they're not reading it. The Jews aren't reading it today. They're going to be repeating history. The world's not reading it today. And there's doom coming. The world's about to change. Jeremiah 36:32. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words, which, obviously, everything that happens after the destruction of Jerusalem is going to be added to our Jeremiah when we get there, which wasn't there when he's given it to Jehoiakim. So, chapter 37, we're going forward in time. Jehoiakim was years before the destruction of Babylon. Now we're going forward in time to King Zedekiah, the last king of Judah before Babylon destroys Jerusalem, takes Zedekiah captive, puts out his eyes after forcing him to watch Nebuchadnezzar kill his sons. And so kills all of his sons in front of his eyes, then puts out his eyes, and then carries him off to Babylon where he ends up dying. So we're going to the time where now Israel is being besieged. Now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. And then this is really such a key that's so applicable today. But neither he, say president, nor his servants, the different congresses around the world, nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah, Daniel, John, Jesus, Paul. You know, add everything in there. The rulers don't care. The kings, presidents don't care. The rulers don't care. The people, for the most part, don't care. We care, right? Are we a majority? We're not. We're a fringe. In fact, you know, the Philadelphia church, which is spread all over the world, you are of little strength, is what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3. The church of Philadelphia, which represents the church that's going to be taken out before the tribulation, you are of little strength. But you kept my word and not denied my name. And because of that, I will keep you from the hour that's to test the whole world. So the idea that the church is going to take over the world and everything is completely unbiblical. And it's not even reality. You have to be smoking something to think that the church is ready to take over the world. So because the people, the king, the servants, the people gave no heed to the word of God, then, verse 3, judgment's coming, and Zedekiah the king sent Jehoiakim, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now to the Lord our God for us. Why do people that don't care anything about the word of God, why do they want you to pray for them? When do they ever want you to pray for them? When bad things are happening. And so probably the timing of this is Nebuchadnezzar came to besiege Jerusalem, and Dustin taught on this 3 weeks ago. He came to besiege Jerusalem. What happens? The Jews had tried to get Pharaoh to come and help him. And so then, hey, you know, Jeremiah, pray for us. Because they're actually besieging us like you told us they were. They're actually coming. This is actually bad. Our false prophets are wrong, and you're right. Yeah, wait, pray for us. Not that I'm going to believe in God, but I want to get out of this trouble. Now, Jeremiah was coming and going among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. So that he's able to talk to Jeremiah because of that. And so then this is what Dustin covered. So we're going to just read 5 through 10 to not repeat what he taught. Then Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard news of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So they're besieging Jerusalem, waiting for everybody to die inside of starvation. Then they hear Pharaoh's coming, and so then they're going, oh, we need to go deal with Egypt before we come back and finish off Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, while he's allowed to move around, they've been, hey, Jeremiah, pray for us. Oh, look, praise God, the Babylonians are living, or are leaving, the Babylonians are leaving. And so answer to prayer, everything's going to be okay. We can still keep sinning and everything's going to be fine. And then Jeremiah says, because he's such a spoiler, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt, to their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans, who fight against you, and there remain only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire. So, what's that kind of like? It's almost like telling the truth can be hazardous to your health. Do you think that the king wanted to hear that? Do you think the people wanted to hear that? Look, we ask you to pray. You're telling us we're going to be cursed. You're so negative. We're going to deal with you. Verse 11, and it happened when the army of the Chaldeans left the siege of Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army that Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to claim his property there among the people. Remember, you know, weeks ago we covered the fact that his relatives said, hey, come and buy this property. And Jeremiah paid the money for the property, but they were under their siege. So it's a little bit of a chronological jump here. And so then now that the siege is temporarily over, Jeremiah knows they're coming back. The Babylonians are coming back, but he wants to go, you know, to use the opportunity, get out of the city and go to the property and get everything sealed in the local area, however that was going to happen. Would the people have considered Jeremiah a false prophet at this time? Yeah. They would be considering Jesus didn't come back. You said that, you know, everybody was saying, you know, sandwich boards, the end is near. That was back in the 70s, 80s. He hasn't come. You Christians are all crazy. Yeah. And verse 13, and when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there whose name was Urijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he sees Jeremiah the prophet saying, you're defecting to the Chaldeans. You're getting out of the town and you're going to go defect to our enemy, the Chaldeans. Then Jeremiah said, false. I am not defecting to the Chaldeans. But he, the guard, did not listen to him. So Urijah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the princes, to the royal family. The royal family who are soon to be killed according to the prophecy of Jeremiah. And they know that Jeremiah's been prophesying the doom of the royal family. And so what do they want to do with Jeremiah? Kill the messenger. Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah. And they struck him, put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison, which is typical at the time. The scribes were also they were in charge of prisons. And so he stays there for many days until Nebuchadnezzar comes back. When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah, the king, sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Then he said, you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. So he's in the dungeon for many days, almost dying there. Because now, the context of this, Babylon has come back. So now, oh, praise God, you know, they're gone. Jeremiah's a false prophet. Our prophets are right. Everything's okay. Oh, they came back. Oh, no. And so then the king says, anything from God? Same message. Different day, same message. You're going to die. Think of the courage. You know, we've been reading on Sunday morning about the courage of Paul telling the truth. Despite all the times he was hated and run out of town and everything. Think of the courage, how it applies to us. I mean, imagine if you are somehow, you're in a media situation and somebody comes, oh, so you're a Christian? Let me ask you. Just because I don't believe in Jesus, am I going to die and go to hell? And those kind of questions were asked of Billy Graham, and he gives a lame answer because he didn't have the courage to say the truth in the days of, you know, when he was around. As much as I'm thankful to God using Billy Graham for me to be saved, I'm here today saved because of the Billy Graham ministry. But see, great people, including us, you know, I mean, not like we're great people, but people, Christians, can be weak in the faith at times. So we got to prepare our minds. Just like Jeremiah, you have to say, you know what? If somebody asks me that question, I know what I'm going to say. No, he's not going to send you to hell. You're on your way to hell, and he wants to rescue you. But if you reject his only salvation plan, you will die. You will die physically, but your spirit will live forever, and you will be separated from the God who you hate, actually, because you don't want to believe in his son. And that's the truth. And if they hate you for it, you just have to take it. It reminds me of Cassie Brunell, again in the Columbine High School, when the massacre and the guys came in and she's sitting at the table in the library. So you believe in God now? Yes, bang. And we just have to remember that family and friends and coworkers can ask us tough questions, but we just have to tell them the truth. Humbly, brokenly, I'm just going to tell you it's the truth. I know you're going to hate it, but you just have to listen and ponder it. You're going to die if you don't have Jesus as your Savior. And so, moreover, Jeremiah said to the king Zedekiah, what offense have I committed against you, against your servants, or against this people that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets? who prophesies to you saying the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land. Go look over the wall, king. Where are the prophets that told you good things and smooth things your whole life and said you're going to be okay? Where's Joel Osteen? Rick Warren when you need him. See, do you realize how bad it's going to be for those guys? When judgment really does start falling on this nation and their messages of, you know, God is for you, everything's going to be good, you're going to get that job, you know, just keep praying for that job improvement and you're getting a better paycheck and this, because God always blesses his people. He does bless us. But we might not get that job raise. We might get persecuted and killed for believing in Jesus. But we get to go to heaven. See, God gives us an eternal perspective. These false prophets give us just the here and now perspective, which is what everybody wants, is just the here and now. Therefore, please hear now, O my Lord the King, please let my petition be accepted before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. He's on the verge of death. They're starving him. And we know that from the following verse. Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, God promised to Jeremiah, I'm going to just read it, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the king of Judah, against the princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. So that was the beginning of his ministry. Have they prevailed against Jeremiah? No, he's still alive. And he's going to keep on staying alive. But does that mean, has God promised us that we're going to prevail in a spiritual way? Yes. Does that mean that we're not going to suffer persecution and problem? He told Paul that we might have to suffer things in this life. He told Paul, I'm going to show Paul what things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so once again, and does he deliver us? Does he promise to deliver us to where? To heaven. He's going to deliver. And are we going to expect to see Jeremiah in heaven? Even though, however, he did die, and there's the extra biblical that he was killed by the people that went to Egypt, the Jews that went to Egypt, but it's not in the Bible. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison and that they should give him daily a piece of bread from the baker's street. That's implying he wasn't being given any food until all the bread in the city was gone. Thus Jeremiah reminded the court of the prison. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison, getting his piece of bread a day, until the city ran out of food. Did the city run out of food? Yep, the city ran out of food. The whole city is out of food. And then, you know what? You don't eat, you don't fight. And then Babylon just breaches the wall. They come in. They slaughter a bunch of skinny people. And then it's done. It's all over. They destroy the city. They burn everything down. That's what they did. And you can read that in 2 Kings 25, just how it was destroyed. Chapter 38 of Jeremiah. Now, Sephatiah, the son of Mattan, Gedaliah, the son of Pashur. Now, this is not the good Gedaliah. This is Gedaliah, the son of the bad guy. Because later on, there's another Gedaliah, son of somebody else, and he's a good guy. Jachal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoke to all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, he who remains in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. His life shall be as a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon army, which shall take it. So now he's still speaking while he's still locked up, and he's giving a truthful message. And what's the message sound like to patriots of Israel? Like he's a treasonous person. Like he is causing people to want to defect to the enemy, which means they're not going to be fighting the enemy and standing up against them. So he's a traitor. Therefore, the princess said to the king, please let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war. who remain in the city in the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of his people, but their harm. Is that true? Absolutely a lie. And everybody that feared God, everybody that knew that Jeremiah was truly a prophet of God, would have done everything they could to get out of Jerusalem. Because they would have known this is life. And so what is our prophet saying today? You know, walk in the light as he is in light. We have fellowship with one another. You are Jesus' house, your temple, the house, if you hold fast the faith, the confession of your faith firm until the end. If you hold fast the faith firm until the end, then you shall be saved and you shall spend eternity in heaven with God. Everybody on this planet should be striving to get out of this world system into the world of the kingdom of the Lord God Almighty who saves us. Are they doing so? No. They're just living for, as we've emphasized so often, the people are so deceived into just now, my job, my future, my reputation, based on the world system. He who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because what is the love? What is the world? The love of the world is the love of the flesh, the love of the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The things of this world that are passing away, the lust, these things, the lust are passing away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And that's what the message of the Word of God is, and they don't want to listen. So anything other than that, we don't want to hear it. It's weakening people wanting to be good citizens of the American world economic system. Then Zedekiah the king said, look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you. What does a king usually able to do? Do whatever he could say, no, you're not going to do that, and I'll have you killed if you try. So what makes it so that the king can do nothing? There's such collapse of society that he realizes, I say no, they kill me. The king can, I know I can't do anything against you. We're desperate. We're being besieged by the Babylonians. You think that this has to be done to save the country, even though it's going to destroy the country. And so you'll kill me, so go ahead. You got to do what you got to do. So they took Jeremiah, cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. So they, we're not going to kill him. We're just going to drop him down into this cistern thing that has a bunch of muck on the bottom, and there's no water there to give him. So Jeremiah, he's an old man now. I mean, he's old man. And, okay, Jesus, I'm telling the truth, and now I'm just going to sit here and die in the mire. No water, no food. City's about to be breached. Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. And when the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out to the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord, the king, this is an Ethiopian, this is a Sudanese, a Sudanese-Ethiopian kind of a black guy, servant of the king, eunuch. He was probably in charge of the king's harem. And he's saying, I'm a foreigner, but you can't do this to a prophet. Lord King, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast in the dungeon, and he is likely to die from the hunger in the place where he is. For there is no more bread in the city, let alone no water. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes, old rags, and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. So he's dumped into a pit. What does that remind you of? Remember when the brothers of Joseph threw him into a pit that, you know, he really couldn't get out of himself. Please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, old man armpits, you know, because they can't say, climb up the rope. under the ropes, and Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something, hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, will you not listen to me? I'm going to tell you the truth. If I tell you the truth, you're going to kill me. If you don't kill me, you won't listen to what I tell you to do. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls. Isn't that something that people can acknowledge God's existence? Can swear to him knowing that he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, creator of the universe, and then not care anything about what he says? Who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord God of the hosts, the God of Israel. Now think about this. This is under siege. They're in trouble. They're already starving in the city. And now another out that God gives to Zedekiah. If you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princesses, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. Can you imagine that? He could have just at that point, okay, I'm now after all of the rebellion against God, I am going to listen. I'm going to go out there with a white flag. I don't know if they use white flags in the days, but I'm going to do the equivalent of a white flag. Tell, the commander of Babylon's army, I'm surrendering this city and myself to you. And the city doesn't get burned, and Nebuchadnezzar does not kill the king. And he should have had every reason to believe that Jeremiah was telling the truth, right? He's been listening for decades. He has all these reasons to believe. I've been believing my other relatives have not listened to Jeremiah, and now here it's my turn, and they were all wrong, and I could be right. I could listen to this. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me. So what's he afraid of? People. What's better? You have a fear of God. What does the Bible say? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of man, you're on the road to death. You fear man instead of God, you're not gonna believe in God. And so what he's really saying is, I and my predecessors threatened anybody trying to leave this city to defect to the Babylonians is to be killed. And so there was probably a lot of the people that did get killed. And the people that did make it to Babylon, they probably remember that. And so if all of a sudden Zedekiah goes out to Babylon, okay, I'm defecting, you can take me to Babylon. He's going to get to Babylon, and he's afraid of what the people will do to him. What's better, to worry about what God is going to do to us if we reject him, or worry about what man's going to do on a temporary plane of life? But if you refuse to surrender, but Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver you. Verse 20, they shall not deliver you. The people will not be against you. Please, please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now, we're not trying to get people to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, are we? What are we trying to get them to do? Surrender to Jesus. Why don't you just surrender? If you just surrender to Jesus, you stop fighting him. You stop being against his laws. You let him be God. You'll live. Even though you've been an atheist, even though you've hated God, even though you led people astray, even though you've lived a life of sex, drugs, rock and roll, all this other stuff. It doesn't matter. God won't care. Just surrender to Him and you'll have everlasting life. My friends would throw such a fit. I mean, I think of all the things you've heard from people. They'll kick me out of their club. They'll talk bad of me. No, I can't do it. Fear of man leads to death. And then he goes on to say, now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire and they have turned away again. So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire. You do the wrong thing here, it affects your family. All your wives, they're going to be given as female slaves to the Babylonians. They're going to be gone. Your children are going to be gone. The whole country will be destroyed. The city will be destroyed because of you. Because you refuse to listen to God. Does it have ramifications when a man or, you know, a woman in a family decides they don't want to believe in Jesus? I mean, it has horrible ramifications. Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, no one knows of these words. And let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. But if the princesses hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, declare to us now what you have said to the king, and also what the king said to you, do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, I presented my request before the king that he would not make me return to Jonathan's house and die there. Now, what's he saying? Who are the princesses? The princesses are the relatives of him that are in the royal line. And so, in other words, Zedekiah is saying, I'm even afraid of my own family. Because if they hear that I talked to you and you said the whole thing of what you just told me, then they're going to kill you and kill me. And so you just keep it quiet. You won't die. And just tell them, you know, this. And so Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Verse 27. Then all the princesses came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all the words that the king had commanded. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been heard. So, you know, it's like, did he tell the truth? Yeah, because he did bring that up. Did he tell the whole truth? No. That's why we swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So he stayed alive. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Isn't that tragic? It is so tragic. And we can use this section of Jeremiah to just communicate to people. There's not much time. It's really, the armies are gathering around the gates of people's souls. Billions of people are about to die. And to tell them, you can't be like Zedekiah. You have to surrender to Jesus. You have to do it while there's still time. You have to give your life to Him, because He gives everlasting life. And that's a message. And may God help us to be used of Him until He comes. Amen. Isn't it tragic? Yeah, Jeannie.
The Chaldeans
or the Babylonians? Yeah, Chaldeans or the Babylonians. Yeah, it's synonymous. Any other questions? Father, we thank you. God, as we do see the storm clouds in so many different ways, wars, rumors of wars, economies that are in jeopardy that could just change the things of the world so quickly, chaos coming upon so many people, so much death that's happening right now in the Middle East, and in Europe, Russia with Ukraine, and just all these things that are happening, it's all because of man's rebellion against you and not acknowledging you, not acknowledging your word and trusting in you. And we just don't want to be part of that, God. We want to, in all of our ways, acknowledge you so that you can direct our paths. that we would really allow our lives to be ruled by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God. Given us his word so that we don't have to walk in darkness like the rest of the world. And he's delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the light of his son. Go on there soon. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.